الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فلا وربك لا يؤمنون حتى يحكموك فيما شجر بينهم ثم لا يجدوا في أنفسهم حرجا مما قضيت ويسلموا تسليما وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم لا يدركني زمان ولا تدرك زمانا لا يتبع فيه العليم ولا يستحيا فيه من الحليم قلوبهم قلوب الأعاجم وألسنتهم ألسنة العرب او كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم most respected ulama ikram brothers and elders person generally any sane person any person who understands that priorities are very important then the highest priority of a mu'min is his iman And for his iman, he will sacrifice his life, his wealth, his honor, anything to protect his iman. This is what the Sahaba-e-Kiram lived by. This is what they displayed. This is what the legacy that they left behind. That come what may, iman is something that cannot be sacrificed for anything. Whether it was being dragged on the hot sands of Makkah Mukarramah and being whooped mercilessly, whether it was huge boulders being placed on their chests in order to try and make them forsake this deen and iman, but nothing could deter them. Iman was their greatest wealth, their greatest asset, and anything could be done, but they were not prepared for one brief second also to forsake this iman. This is the legacy they left to us. And this is what we have to carry on with. That this is our greatest asset, our greatest wealth. And we have to guard it in every way. Guard our iman, the iman of our families and children, and one and all. Now one is, Allah forbid, somebody outrightly rejects iman. Which unfortunately happens from time to time. A person outrightly rejects iman and claims that he is na'uzu billah no more a Muslim. Many a times it happens that sometimes some jamaat knocks on some door to meet the brother or meet the person and he says, don't come here in future, I am no more Muslim na'uzu billah. So this is something that shocks anybody, shocks us, shocks everyone, and especially the immediate family of such a person, they would be totally shocked. Many a times these kind of calls will come that how do we now handle this situation and should we totally ostracize this person because he doesn't want to take any understanding. And rightly so, this is indeed a very, very serious situation. It cannot be treated lightly, it cannot be treated just casually. For us it's life and death. So rightly so, this concern, this worry. But together with that, sometimes there's a very subtle type of irtidad, this reneging, this forsaking iman. One is the outright type, where the person himself declares that he's no more na'uzu billahi Muslim. But sometimes it is very, very subtle. It is something that is very hidden. A person outwardly is living the life of a Muslim. He's even attending the 5 times salah. Person is perhaps going for Umrah and Hajj every year also. But sometimes there are very subtle aspects of irtidad, of this reneging and forsaking iman. Sometimes this is already in the level of the first category, where it takes a person completely out of the pale of Islam. And sometimes it's right at the border of iman and kufr. And unfortunately, this is happening at a more frequent scale, at a more rapid way this is taking place, and more frequently these kind of cases are coming up. Especially in the minds of the hearts and minds and hearts of our children. What is happening there is sometimes becomes a rude shock for some parents when by chance they get to know what is going on in the heart and mind of the child when he blurts something out. A great scholar whose name we mentioned the last time that we discussed something, Hazrat Maulana Abul Hasan Ali Nadwi Rahmatullah Alayh, he wrote a book titled Riddatun Wala Aba Bakrin Laha. That there is a flood of reneging, there is no Abu Bakr standing in his way. And then he described a type of irtidad which he termed as zihni irtidad, intellectual apostasy. That a person lives outwardly like a Muslim, he fulfills all the fundamentals of Iman in terms of his practice. He's there for Salah, he's reciting Quran Sharif daily, he's doing other things of deen. But his heart and mind is not ready to accept certain established aspects of deen. In this ayat of the Quran Sharif that was recited, Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala says, فَلَا وَرَبِّكْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ. There are several incidents mentioned regarding the occasion when this ayat was revealed. But the crux of it is that there was some incident and somebody had some reservation in accepting the decision of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam made a decision regarding something and some person had some little reservation. So Allah ta'ala revealed this ayat that they are not believers. They have no iman. فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ. Until they make you the arbiter in whatever disputes may take place between them. ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِمَّا قَضَيْتْ وَيُسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. And then they have no reservation in their hearts about whatever you have decided. They totally submit themselves to whatever your decision is. Who is being addressed? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now the general lesson that comes out of it, that anything that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave, and a mu'min has some reservation about it. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has presented something, that this is to be done, or this is not to be done, and a person has some reservations about it, that this shouldn't be the case, na'uzu billah. Why are we ordered to do this? Or why are we being refrained from this? This shouldn't be the case. That reservation, Allah Ta'ala says that they must have no reservation about whatever you have given them. وَيُسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. They must totally submit to it. Now just to understand this in the light of incidents that have happened, real life incidents. And this is meant to make us alert, to make us understand that we are not to take things just on the surface, on face value. That on face value a person or his children, everything seems very fine, everybody is going to masjid, everybody is performing their salah maybe or whatever else. And so everything is fine. We need to dig a little bit beneath the surface also. One father, he took his children for, or the grandfather rather, took his grandchildren for Umrah. And this is something that happened not long ago. So he took his grandchildren for Umrah, little children, who have been now 1 or 2 years in school. And it happened that he expressed it in these words, that the Kaaba Sharif, you're going to see the Kaaba Sharif, and the Lord of the Kaaba Sharif is Allah Ta'ala. He mentioned it in these words. So the one of the grandchildren says, but Dada, isn't the Lord Jesus? Now he's growing up in a family that is outwardly, or well, a strong Islamic background. Everybody is conscious of deen apparently. But this child, wherever, whichever kind of school he's been attending, a school with a Christian ethos, and he didn't say anything all this time, all these years, 1, 2 years that he's there. Now suddenly the word Lord came out from somebody's mouth, and he is now relating it to what has been drummed in his mind. And he's saying, isn't Lord Jesus? Now this is one example. But apart from this, there are many, many things that have been happening. One child was arguing with another child in a madrasa, in a maktab. And in this argument, one child, the one who was arguing with the other, he called him a monkey. So the other fellow very calmly said, so what's the problem with it? We all are from monkeys.
The ustad heard this, he called them up, he asked them, what are you doing, what are you talking about, brother? So he says, well, he called me a monkey. So I said, what's the problem with that? All of us are from monkeys. He says, where you got this from? He says, the teacher in school told us. Now this is the negation of so many ayat of the Quran Sharif. The ayat of the Quran Sharif, which deal with the creation of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah Ta'ala created him from sand, from dust, and then blew the ruh into him. And this child is growing up from that. And this education system is calculated to develop this kind of mind. One is, there have been students studying whatever sciences and themselves confessed that my iman is shaken. I have doubts regarding many fundamentals. It appears that this happened when the person went to university. This is not a generalization. This is talking about specifics. And this is not one or two cases, more than two cases. The person now had serious doubts about his faith, about his iman. But it appears it started off there. But it didn't start off there. Not long ago, one father, his child, who is in grade 3, came home with a project. He has to do a project. Project on what? On the grade 3 child. That word is hard. I wonder whether I got the pronunciation right. He has to do a project on the coelacanth. A grade 3 child. The father is scratching his head. I never heard this word in my life. So the father is an alim. He decided to just little check, what is this all about? This is the so-called link to the theory of evolution. Now this child is coming from a Muslim school home with a project, and he has to do a project on a coelacanth. It's the pronunciation is coelacanth, but it's spelled very differently. Person looks at the spelling, he'll be puzzled how to pronounce it. Now that grade 3 child has to come and now work out what this is all about. And from grade 3, because this is part of the syllabus, he has to now learn this. And the seeds of the so-called theory of evolution, the fallacy of evolution, are being planted already. And now he'll go on. And through high school, the same thing will be drummed. And now when he comes to university, if he's studying the same line, more than one person have told me personally that I'm doubtful about the way things have been explained to us. Very recently, one person came to one Mufti Sahib, and he is now proposed to marry some girl. He's already proposed. But unfortunately, that is also another musibat and a calamity, that once a person is proposed, forget when he's proposed, even before the proposal, everything seems jais and permissible to communicate, whereas they are total strangers to each other, it's haram to communicate. Any case in this communication, now something came out, so he came to inquire, that is it permissible or is this, can I still go ahead with this marriage? What's the problem? He says, well, this girl who I've proposed to marry, she is now saying that we can't just take it for granted that this Quran is genuinely the revelation of Allah Ta'ala, because we're taking the word of one man, na'uzubillah, this is just taking the word of one man, referring to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So how can we just take his one person's word and accept this to be it? Now this is a total negation of the Quran Sharif. All the aspects that have been revealed or have been mentioned in the Quran Sharif, this is all gone. And outwardly she's a Muslim, she is fasting in the month of Ramadan, she's performing her salah perhaps, whatever else. But the heart has reneged. The heart has gone somewhere else. And this subtle irtidad is taking place on and on. And nobody knows what's going on until somebody blurts something out. And where is it coming back to? Unfortunately, a lot of it is coming back to the education system. And this is also not something by the way. This is not something by the way. Years ago, when the English were ruling India, when the English were ruling over India, and now eventually they had to start leaving and pack up. So there was one very senior person in the Indian government at that time in India, Lord Macaulay. So this was something he wrote with his own pen, which is published and available. It's on various websites as well. He says that we will be leaving India, but though we will be gone, we will be leaving people behind who in blood and in color will be Indian, but in their taste, in their opinions, in their morals, and in their ethics, they'll be English. And we will replace, later in a separate space, he said, that I have seen, I've traveled the length and breadth of this. This he wrote much earlier, before the English had to leave. So I've traveled the length and breadth of this country. And I've seen such a people that I've hardly ever seen a thief. I've hardly ever seen a beggar. And it is impossible for us to conquer these people. The only way is to break their backbone. And that is to crush their culture and spirituality. As a people, we cannot conquer them until we crush their spirituality and their culture. And how are we going to do that? We will do it by replacing their, he termed it as, their ancient education system with our education system. So that outwardly they'll be whatever they are, but inwardly they'll be what we want them to be. Now this has subtly been doing its job. And it's happening in our communities. It's happening, Allah forbid, sometimes in our families. And the child, these things are breeding. One child came home. One day, normally, as normally, he comes home and everybody was sitting to eat. So this child sat down with his hands in front of him. From a family that is conscious of their 5 times salah and deen in general, this child sat down with his hands in front of him. So father asked him, what are you up to? He says, no, I'm giving grace. The teacher said, must give grace before. What is grace? Now, where is this child being led to? He's attending a school with a Christian ethos. Overnight, the father took him out and put him somewhere else. Because that father had at least that much of understanding that what he's going to, this is only the start. He was only in preschool. This is only the start. Where it will finish off? Allah forbid. So this is something that we have to become very, very alert about. That what is going on, what is being planted in the hearts and minds of our children, not just that where they are, but what they are being taught, what is in that textbook? That textbook might be anything, that school might be anything, but what is in that textbook? Because that syllabus has to be now done wherever it is. So that textbook is now the same, whether it is a government school, whoever. And these seeds are being planted. And sometimes, as we mentioned, it becomes apparent when the child says something, when he blurts out something. So what is the solution to this? One is to know that this is a problem. The solution, the one solution is that this is something we have to take very seriously, to hold on fast, to taking direction and advice from those who Allah Ta'ala has blessed with true knowledge. In one dua, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made this dua, and the du'as of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was ta'lim for the ummat. His du'as were a lesson for the ummat. Allahumma la yudrikni zamanun. Ya Allah, let that time never come that I see such an error. And then addressing the sahaba, wala tudriku zamanan. May you also never see such an error. May the time never come when you have to witness such a thing happening. La yuttaba'u fihil alim. When those of knowledge will not be followed, people follow what? My opinion. Why should I be prevented from opening the Quran and any translation of the Quran and coming to my own deductions and my own conclusions? The translation of the hadith are available to me. Why should I be forced to follow somebody else? The so-called monopoly of the clergy, as they call it. There's no clergy in Islam. But Allah Ta'ala has placed a system that اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ. And in another ayah, مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ. That in every rakat of every salah, we are asking Allah Ta'ala to guide us to the path of those who Allah Ta'ala has guided and whom Allah Ta'ala has blessed. And in this dua, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is giving us that same clarification. That Ya Allah, let that time never come that I witness that time. May my sahaba never witness that time. When those of knowledge will not be followed, people do their own things. They'll decide for themselves. وَلَا يُسْتَحْيَا فِيهِ مِنَ الْحَلِيمِ. And the elders of the community, etc., there'll be no respect left for them. Person will not bother who is his father, who is his uncle, what is going on, he'll do what he wants. And what will be the end result of this? The end result will be قُلُوبُهُمْ قُلُوبُ الْأَعَاجِمِ وَأَلْسِنَتُهُمْ أَلْسِنَةُ الْعَرَبِ. Their hearts will become, in our terms, westernized. And their tongues will be Arabic. They'll speak beautiful, fluent Arabic, or any other language for that matter. They'll speak the talk of deen. They will speak the language of Quran and Sunnah. The language will be Quran and Sunnah, but the hearts, قُلُوبُهُمْ قُلُوبُ الْأَعَاجِمِ. Their hearts will be westernized. Their hearts will be anglicized. Their hearts will be Americanized. And they will be putting forward that ideology which the Americans and the English and the West and whoever else have pushed, fought into that, fed into that heart from that pre-primary years. Because it's their syllabus primarily. So this will become the end result. So this is the lesson Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is giving, that for this protection of our iman, for this protection of our deen, for this protection of this great wealth and asset that Allah Ta'ala has blessed us with, which is greater than our life, for that we have to stick firmly to the guidance of the ulama ikram. Together with that is this fundamental ta'aleem of deen which takes place in our makatib. Time is already up, there's a nikah taking place, we'll just finish off on this. My ustad Hazrat Muhammad Hamid Sahab Daan Barakatuhum mentioned once that when he was still a lecturer in Rand Afrikaans University, this was some 35, 40 years ago. So there was one professor there and they were had to interact on a daily basis because that professor was, he worked under him. And one day this person said to him that the day that this primary maktab, this primary madrasa system in this country will not exist, then the Muslims will remain as a business community and as a professional community, full stop. As a religious community, they'll cease to exist. They'll have names of Muslims only. They'll have some customs of Muslims only. But their hearts and minds will be something else. They'll live the life of somebody else. To now make sure our children are getting that fundamental Islamic education and give it full importance. Not that this is a by the way thing. That is the main thing in the child's life. Because that is going to protect his iman. His life will come after his iman. His iman is worth more than his life. All the education we give our children is for the life of this dunya. But often, unfortunately and tragically, that very education is destroying the life of dunya and akhirat. And that primary maktab education and the dini education that will be given in our homes and imparted via the tarbiyah that we will give our children, that will be for their iman, which will be for their lives of akhirat. So this is what we have to be now very conscious about, that how we can be alert and see what is going on, check what is happening, what our children are learning, and make sure that our aqaid, our beliefs are all clear, our children's beliefs are clear, and we are not being planted, these seeds are not being planted in our hearts, which are taking this iman away. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, save us from this. Allah ta'ala, keep us with iman, take us with iman, and raise us on the day of Qiyamah with iman. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.